Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Miss Sharon Coleman. Miss Coleman is from Her Divine Life, so you can reach her at sharon@herdivinelife.com. And she is someone I wanted to bring to our audience because she knows what it means to struggle and have difficulties. So I'm going to ask her to do a much better introduction of who she is and what she does, and then I'll pop into some interview questions. So welcome, Miss Sharon.
Hi, Karen. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Okay.
So tell us more.
Okay. Well, I have had a fascinating life where in my younger years and some of my older years, I endured a lot of trauma, on many different areas, sexually, emotionally, physically, and having had a mentor that came to me and literally I feel like saved my life. I now have made it my mission to help women until the day that I'm gone out of this world, in order for them to heal from their trauma, to create a life they would love living by taking that experience and finding the seeds of good within and altering their future, using it to alter their future in a positive way.
Beautiful. I thought I read something too about dream building. What do you do with dreams?
Yes. So what we do is each and every one of us is actually given a dream on our heart. They're all different. It's the most beautiful thing, but it's something that we were born to bring into this world. It serves us, but it will always serve others, a dream as well. And so what happens is we help people get in touch with what that dream is, and then we actually help them bring it into the third dimension through some step-by-step processes where they learn how to get a crystal clear vision of it. And then they actually learn to match the vibration and energy by rewiring what I call taught habit patterns in their brain, the way that they were programmed at a pretty young age for most people. And then unfortunately, trauma just keeps added on top and on top of that, depending upon what their life story is. And we help them actually rewire it so that they can live a life that they would, you know, really past their wildest imagination, is what my experience with helping women has been. So it sounds kind of out there, but it's a lot about neurology and rewiring the synaptic connections within their brain.
Right. Right. And how did you learn these processes from? Because some of your language that you use is very familiar to me. So I'm wondering if we've had some of the same teachers in the past.
Well, I had a mentor for 30 plus years that was an incredible enlightened being that was here. And she taught me neurology, positive psychology, spirituality. And so that went on for 30 years. And I also have had, as a personal teacher, Wayne Dyer, Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that's the connection with you, is Joe Dispenza.
Well, some of the language you use I'm most familiar with is Mary Morrissey, but she's done work with Wayne Dyer a lot as well.
Yes. And Mary Morrissey is absolutely a mentor of mine. Mm-hmm. She reminded me so much of my teacher who passed away 12 years ago, very similar to concepts that I'd been working since I was in my 20s. So it kind of felt like coming home with Mary Morrissey. Right. Yes. To find someone who understood those principles at such a deep level. Very, very similar. So that is our beautiful connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. And for those people out there that feel like we're talking some woo-woo, what are your thoughts on how we all have spirituality and it's not exactly woo-woo when we all have a soul?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because it's not woo-woo. I think it's so practical, more practical than the things that we were taught to do and be while we're here. So I had a near-death experience about 15 years ago, and I had two code blues in one day, and I went to what I'm going to refer to as the other side, people would refer to as heaven. And I had an incredible conversation with what I'm going to call the wise one. I don't know how else to explain it to people, but there were many things that happened during it. One of the most incredible principles was that I said, you know, because I was raised in a Christian home, I said, oh, is this where we do the death inventory? And the answer was no, my child. When you were on earth, each time you broke your integrity, you punished yourself. I do not punish you. And I was like, whoa, what? That kind of flies in the face of a lot of things that I had been taught and learned, right? The other one that was profound is that it is as important to love ourselves as it is to love others. It is equal. And I had spent much of my life loving others, but not loving myself, being full of self-loathing and so hypercritical of myself based on some of my childhood experiences and I seemed easily able to rationalize that self-beating up, right? That awful critical perfectionism, I'm not good enough, I'm not enough. And it carried with me for so many years of my life. After that experience, when I came back, I understood deeply that it was my job, it was my path to learn to love myself as much as others. And so that led me on an entirely different path of self-exploration to where I learned to love and forgive myself. And today I can say unashamedly that I absolutely love myself. I even look in the mirror. I've had 14 major surgeries on my body. I was in a wheelchair at age 7. So I have scars upon scars upon scars. And so I really used to loathe my body. And I look in the mirror now and I think, you are so beautiful. And I mean it with every piece of me. Now that to me is a miracle. That to me is something where
a little teary-eyed. Woo.
Yeah, I overcame to, and so that to me is the divine. I describe it as the divine because I believe that all paths and religions lead to the same creator. And I honor all of it. I honor whatever anyone's path is, but I know with a certainty, not with a thinking, but with a knowing that at the central point of all of us is this beautiful soul that is here to learn. It's a journey. And crazy enough, Kieran, we chose it. We chose our journey and what it would look like before we got here. So that's a deep level of personal responsibility, right? And so those of us that chose paths that were more difficult and challenging and hurtful and trauma actually chose it so that we could teach others how to overcome that trauma and those teachings. That's my personal belief or my experience, I should say.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I don't know if I completely ascribe to it, although I do think a lot of that makes sense. You know, it just does. It's just hard for people who really, really are suffering still. It's hard to say that they maybe chose that. It's because of that soul. We don't know everything below the surface. I think that can be challenging.
But right. Well, I think that the most difficult part is that we tend to continue to re-traumatize ourselves over and over and over with the trauma that we endured, let's say as children or at the hands of another person here, or the issue isn't that it happened and that we were able to resiliently move past it. The challenge is that we use the same thing and recreate the same events in our life through other people, and they occur over and over again. So we continue to self-hurt ourselves after being deeply hurt.
Yeah. That self-sabotage issue is very, very real.
Yeah, that horrible self-critic that believed, you know, that looked at things through a certain perception and belief and then continue to do it over and over. And where I'm speaking from is deep experience with a mother who was extremely mentally ill and very cruel. and a incredible violent father who was a rageaholic. And so I'm not speaking from a path of not having walked it. I have walked it and have come out the other side. So I think the victory on this earth is to have come out the other side and have the courage to live a life of joy now and happiness and love and compassion, even for those who were so unmerciless or played that role in my life, right? Of being, this is after, I mean, I've been doing this on this path since I was 26, I'm 62. So I have spent years and years in both having gone through therapy, having gone through amazing teachers of neurology and spirituality, and have literally walked the path that I'm talking about, where I've reprogrammed my own mind.
Wow. Powerful.
Yeah. And I'm grateful. I'm deeply, deeply grateful. For that path out. I was speaking with a woman yesterday, one of my clients who's been through unbelievable trauma, including losing her child 2 years ago at the age of 13 from suicide. Mm-hmm. So when I speak about trauma, I understand deeply what I'm talking about and how difficult it was for this mom, and still is, right? But at this point, it is about her healing from this deep trauma. And that was not her first trauma. And healing from that trauma and coming out the other side and having the way out and courage to live a life that she truly is happy in, that does not need to spend the rest of her life trapped into that, into those horrible events that happened to her.
Right. Okay. So tell us more about the work you do. You know, are you an author? Do you present? Do you coach? Tell us more about that.
I definitely coach or mentor women. I have clients all over the world that I have a very intuitive sense. And so I'm able to I help people identify what the trauma was if they don't remember it, and to help them work through those events and find what the meaning may be on the other side of them. So I'm a mentor as well as I give workshops. I'm having a women's retreat in Maui in January, which is outrageous because I met some of the most wonderful healers there, Karen. And this one woman, I mean, honestly, has changed my life in profound ways. I'm not the same person that I was when I met her. So I believe that that which has created us leads us to those that can help us. And there's so many, right, that can help us, but perhaps they can help us specifically individually, because they're like, that's our person to help. That's our person to see through. We speak the same language. And so I think if there were thousands and thousands and millions of people doing this work, it wouldn't be enough to help all of those that are hurting and lost, right? So So I actually walk them through a step-by-step process of helping them to understand their thinking mind and how their thinking is creating their current reality by playing the same thoughts and stories over and over again.
Yeah. I really deeply believe that. I think, well, we see it in every religious text, the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, all texts, anything that, you know, is Buddhist related, it's the central theme. And then in psychology is a central theme. We call it cognitive behavioral therapy. So I'm a therapist, so I've taught it over and over.
Beautiful. Bless you, for doing that work.
Yeah, we need to change the way we think if we truly want to create change in our life.
Yes, and it works. Here's what's so amazing. I have women that will tell you that they look back now after 2 years and they tell the story of who they were when they started the work, but they feel like they're lying because it's like they're so far removed now because they've practiced what they're practicing, right? To where they actually have altered their own neurology. I love that no matter what our age, we can create new neural pathways in our mind and learn new ways of being and thinking going forward to where we have that life that perhaps if we were not like people that were interrupted by trauma, we would have had. Right? Yeah. We would have had and have it now. It's never too late. And I'll tell you, after my near-death experience, life is far too short to not enjoy and be in joy throughout day, you know, and in the last the last 2.5 years, I lost my little brother, my mom, and my dad. And I was the caretaker for them because my mother had been paralyzed from a stroke. My father had Alzheimer's, and my brother was wheelchair bound with Parkinson's and a horrible back injury. And so having gone through that process and watched all of them, literally as I held their hand, as they passed from this earth, life is, we are here for a moment. It is not to continue to retorture ourselves over and over. It's to find that path out, to your point, and let go of stories that are not life affirming and life giving and create new ones, right? Mm-hmm. write a new story for ourselves going forward.
Right. Speaking of stories, are you a published author? And if not, do you have a favorite book?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not a published author. I have a book I think I've been working on for 10 years, Karen. So perhaps when it's time, it will be there. I just had someone the other day offer to write it again. But it's a not yet. I've been so busy doing the work that I've been doing. Do I have a favorite book? I have so many. I love reading. I really think that one of the books that really points to the way, in a sense, beautifully is Deepak Chopra's, but this is a specific book by him, which is The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. And it guides us through these principles of what we may be doing that's honestly completely an opposite of gaining the life and the dream that we want. As an example, we were taught to work hard. We were taught to give lots of effort in order to bring a dream into reality. And in many ways, it's counterproductive to actually bringing it in. There is so much about allowing ourselves to be supported by what I call the divine in the dream. So because we're in a third dimensional world, we must take action. We have to do action. It's a third dimensional world. But we are met with, as much as we move forward into that dream, that divine meets us in that spot. So it's a beautiful orchestration of both at the same time, simultaneously.
I have not read that one. I've read a lot of their other books, so I'll have to pick that up. It sounds great.
Yeah, it's something I've sent to people over and over through the years because it's got some profound lessons in there, including the law of least effort.
Ooh, who wouldn't like that one, right?
Right, including the law of least effort, yes.
Yeah, because we often make things harder than what they need to be.
Yes, it's taught. It's a taught behavior. We're not at fault for any of this. These are taught behaviors. These are things that we picked up from our environment, from our society, from our upbringing, from our parents, our aunts, our uncles, our teachers. This is things that we picked up, and then we made our own decisions and perceptions of what we were experiencing. So it's a new way of experiencing the world, and a friendlier way, by the way, and a friendlier way.
And a more loving way.
Oh my goodness. That is the key. I'm telling you, that's the key. When I realized we're also here to play and enjoy our life. And that was something I didn't do. I was a high powered executive. I managed teams across the United States, like thousands of them. And I will tell you that I was working 16, 17 hours a day. I was not playing. And when I died and I went to the other side, the only thing that I got my hand slapped for at all, if you can even call it that, it was more of like just to pay attention to this, was that I wasn't playing. I had not learned how to play as a child. I grew up in a very serious family. So I had not learned how to play. And so I want you to know that at 40 some years old, I taught myself how to play. And I am so good at it today, Karen, that sometimes I have to stop and remember. there are other things as well as play, but I have gotten very skilled at it by practicing it.
It sounds like you're a parentified child. That's the term we call children that grow up too quickly. So I would love to hear more about what you do to play. It's huge. It's huge.
I love to travel. You know, I am... When I came back from that experience, within a year, I did everything on my bucket list. Within 1 year, all the things that I had been postponing and putting off, I went to Costa Rica, Paris, London, Belize, and Maui. Within a year after coming out of that experience, it took me 6 months. I was in the hospital for 4.5 months. So it took me 6 months to learn to walk and hold my head up again and do all those wonderful things. But once that was done, within a 1 year period of time from then, let me tell you, I played. I learned how to play. I love life. I love my life. I appreciate and love interacting with people and of all kinds and seeing everything that's going on with them from their perception. And so I can do so many things now to play, but each day to me really feels like that. I have that kind of a zest for living every day. And I appreciate the smallest things. I'm so deeply grateful to the large things.
You know, I think we're meant to talk today. A lot of stuff you're saying really resonates with me. I think travel is one of the best ways for trauma survivors to not only play, but to heal.
Yeah.
You know, going around seeing and trying and doing new things, the adventure. For me, it's been incredibly healing.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm going to start a travel blog as well as my coaching and other things I do, you know, to show the connection between being a survivor and travel. It's just, to me, it's huge. Like, it's better to have a teeny tiny house like this.
Yes.
And have the money to travel, you know?
Oh, 100% I firmly believe agree that. With you on that, Karen. 100%. Well, what's interesting is, you know, when we travel, we move out of the known into the unknown. We move out of our comfort zone, which is often, as trauma survivors, very uncomfortable, but it's familiar to us. We get used to living in that spot. So when we travel, we're looking at all things unknown. So it awakens us to that which we really are. Whereas if we're sitting in our own little familiar place with our own familiar thoughts and our own familiar ways of being, we're not growing. We're not moving. And people are meant to grow. I believe that life is ever moving through us to be further expressed in this world. So I love that for that reason. I love getting up and going to do something completely different.
Yes, it's one of my passions. Also, I think the other key part too, like when life is challenging, it's so nice to have something to look forward to. So I always love to think about where my next trip is going to be, you know, and on a really hard day that's stressful for whatever reason, I'm like, okay, let's play by dreaming about that trip. Like, what do I envision seeing? What am I going to do? You know, what am I going to eat?
Yeah.
What am I going to play? You know, yeah. Who am I going to meet? I love that. I find that very helpful. And when something happens and you're a little stressed out, it really is helpful for me.
Yeah. Albert Einstein said he would rather have imagination, the tool of imagination, than that of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because I really believe, and I've studied this, that the tool of our imagination to do what you just said, to create that future from right now, by doing that beautiful imagining, it's a gift that's taken away from children far too young, and they're told to stop doing it. And I believe that it was one of the largest gifts our creator gave us coming in, was to imagine the new possibilities and to see. And I have seen it happen over and over where it has come to pass. So I love that. I love that you said that. That's a beautiful process you have right there, Karen.
Thank you. Also, when I publish this to my regular coaching blog, I might have to publish it to my new blog. I haven't started yet.
What's that one? The travel one?
Yeah, I haven't named it yet, but it's on my bucket list for starting in January. A new blog. Yeah. So another thing I wanted to ask you, sorry for the is about what you had written in your profile about struggling with addictions. Because I feel like that can often be a path for trauma survivors. You know, it's a coping skill. It's unfortunately an unhealthy one. Do you mind sharing about your...
Oh my gosh, not at all. It was. I'm so grateful that I found alcohol when I was around 16 years old. Because I had no memories of my childhood, and I was, I needed something to get out of that part of my mind where I was so badly traumatized. And so I found alcohol, thank goodness, from 16 years old until I was 26. So at 26, I made a personal decision that I was addicted to alcohol, that I wasn't able to just like start drinking and stop. That when I started drinking, I was going to continue drinking, which is a sign of addiction. And what happened was I fell to my knees And I said the most sincere prayer I've ever said in my life because I wanted to commit suicide, which is, if you're out there, help me. And I was immediately completely enveloped in unconditional love and peace, as though there was a visit. It was an incredible moment. Within 3 days after that, I met my mentor, Anne. So at this point, I am 36 years drug and alcohol free. It's a long journey. Now, when I stopped drinking, Karen, all of those memories started pushing to the surface. And I felt like I was going completely mad. And I had no way of dealing with the emotions that were coming to the surface. And so I got help. And I am so grateful that I got help, because I don't know what the outcome would have been otherwise. As I remembered the molestation, as I remembered different things that were coming up and the trauma that I had survived. So I say that alcohol saved my life through that self-medication, to your point, which many trauma people of trauma do, in order, whether they eat, overeat, or they drink, or they shop, or they, whatever gamble. It is that each one of us want, or they what? Gamble. Gamble. Gamble's a really serious one. Yeah. Really serious one. The problem is that it works until it stops, and then it turns like a boomerang and cuts us to shreds. So it is a temporary solution, unfortunately, to try to push down that which we're not prepared to deal with at that point.
That's such a great point. Yeah, that's, and I think it gives a lot of grace for people who have suffered from addictions. It's like, it was just your way of trying to medicate yourself.
I've literally thousands of women that I, and men both, that I have helped get off of alcohol and drugs, right? And to walk them through the next part of that process, which is the most important part, which is to deal with the trauma. Most, I find truly that most alcoholics and drug addicts, food addicts, to your point, gambling addicts, whatever it is, are very empathetic, meaning they were empaths. They felt the feelings and emotions that were going on through that trauma at a greater degree than others may have felt them. And so they need to cover up in a greater way. Does that make sense? Because they simply can't deal with it.
That is really, really powerful.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
Sorry about my little doggy. He's upset with somebody. That's Toby. Toby's upset with somebody right now.
Well, this makes podcasting so fun, because life happens. One time my kids came in and knocked over my green screen, which is here. And now my background's a mess. And I was like, should I care about that? And I'm just like, it is what it is.
It is what it is. No, don't care. It's not
if
important.
People care, they shouldn't watch us on YouTube. They should just listen to us.
That's right. That's right. You're exactly right.
I was like, oh, you know, before children and before being so busy in my career, I had things more organized and tucked away, but this is real life.
No matter meaning, life is in session. Life is happening, and it's a beautiful mess, just like we as human beings are a beautiful mess. We are the light. We are the dark. We are the good. We are the bad. We are all of it, and we are so perfect just like that, with all of it going on, that self-acceptance and self-love for, I'm okay exactly like I am today. Exactly like I am today. I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to be over it. I don't need. Yeah. Beautiful, right? Beautiful human messes. I love that.
Wow.
Or at least I am.
Right? I think a lot of people listening, including myself, are like, whatever Sharon is drinking for breakfast and eating those Wheaties, we need to get some of that.
You know what is funny? I tell people I'm an unteacher. I unteach them everything they think they know about themselves, so they can go inside to their own wisdom, and then they will know who they really are, and they will know they never needed an improvement plan.
Oh, wow. It goes with what I have learned and believe, that everything we need to heal ourselves, we have within ourselves already. We just have to tap into it.
It's that we go outside ourselves looking. We do. I had it all. It was all within the whole time. I did have it. I just kept looking outside of myself, you know, for other people's approval, for other people's ideas, so that's why I say, I think the most important thing that we can do, and I know that you do this in your practice, is point people back inside to the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to wrap up soon, but since you did such a great job with the first book recommendation, I want to see if you have another.
Oh, you know, it's a very interesting thing. There's a book by Wallace Wattles. Now, the book is actually entitled, oh my gosh, is it, you'll have to look it up. Is it
The Science of Getting Rich?
The Science of Getting Rich. Now, the importance, the reason that that book is important, we're all born rich. So it's not about the rich thing. And when I consider full spectrum wealth, I mean that they have great relationships with people, right? They have their health. They have the money and the time and money freedom to do what they want. So that's full spectrum wealth to me. That's not what I'm talking
Abundance.
About. Yeah. What it does so beautifully is it points to the truth that there is a permeable substance that is everywhere and everything at the same time. And we impress it with our thoughts and create what we see on the outside of us. And so it points to a formula very scientifically, which I love. I love quantum physics. I study quantum physics. But it points to the formula of the truth, which is we are responsible. And I mean, when I say that, if we are responsible for our world and our life at this point, at some time when we were younger, we may have truly been the victim, right? Or even as older, something may have happened and we are victimized. But we are the answer. We are the ones that can actually impress upon that beautiful substance, energy that's everywhere, within everyone all the time, that which we want to create and have a life that we love living. We deserve it, and it's ours for the taking. It's ours. And so I love that book. I love that part of that book, I should say, right? Is that beautiful process it points out.
Yeah, I have it in physical copy and on audio. It's great to listen to when you're walking. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool, Karen.
So if people would like to work with you further, what is the best way to connect with you?
You know, I would say I have a website, www.herdivinelife.com. I think there's a way to get a hold of me. I hold something that I call a vision workshop, which is where we help people, regardless of them working with me or not, we help them get crystal clear on their future, crystal clear on that which they want to create in their life. So I think sometimes the workshop is on there that they can certainly attend, but get in touch with me. Let me know. I know that those that it resonates with deeply, it's because the Creator sent them to me to work with, and I am here for them. And I have the best job in the whole world. I have the best job in the whole world because I really do watch people morph and change from that who they thought they were into that who they really are. It's a good job.
It's a really good job. Important work. Yeah. And will they learn about your retreat information on your website as well?
You know what? I think it is on there at this point. If they reach out to let me know that they're interested, that's a deep transformative experience for 4 days. I mean, that is a deep transformative experience, as well as working with these healers on Maui that are, I mean, to me, they're out of this world. They are gifted in ways that I have not seen before or found before. So yeah, absolutely, Karen.
Awesome. Okay. Any last parting words of wisdom for our community?
No, thank you so much for the work that you do by reaching out to people so that they know that the deep level of hope is out there for all of us, and that I am deeply, my heart goes out to them for being survivors of the trauma that they've gone through. And more importantly to me is that they have a choice and they can live a life going forward that they deserve to have been living the entire time. So
beautiful.
Thank you for having me, Karen.
Thank you for showing up with us on a Saturday.
No problem. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.